Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Let's get into the topic for this week. Among many possible titles, I'm calling this program How to Confront Leftism, program number 553, video number 216. Last week, I started making a list of all the unbiblical responses to the school shooting in Texas, which all boils down to our social leaders rejecting the biblical doctrine of sin and personal responsibility. We can even call it a disbelief in evil. Instead, our cultural leaders believe that everyone is basically good, everyone is merely an oppressed victim of society, and this is the doctrine behind liberalism, which is often called leftism. And this is the false theology which is resulting in destructive national policy. So to lay the axe to the root of the tree, rather than address the details of the Texas shooting, let's address the bad theology behind it all. Right after the school shooting in Texas, the California legislature voted to repeal a law requiring that law enforcement be notified whenever a student threatens violence against school officials. And this repeal was endorsed by the ACLU. In other words, if there is a student, like the Uvalde shooter, who previously threatened violence when he was a student, school administrators would not be allowed to call the police. And yet the failure of our social leaders in the Uvalde shooter case is that they let this violent man go under the radar for too long. So why would California, why would the legislature repeal this law requiring the police to be involved? Because the ACLU claims that if the police are involved, a violent threatening student might get a police record. And a police record might adversely affect that student's future, especially if the student is an ethnic minority. So the California law requiring school officials to notify the police was repealed because it might disproportionately affect minorities. So what's happening here is that dealing with and punishing evil is being set aside because these social leaders value equality more than justice. The mindset is that it's not fair for one family group to be considered more criminal than another family group. We have to have equality. And it's not fair that some people are called criminals. It might hurt their self-image. It might make them more criminal. The phrase that's being used is being othered. And we can't have people being othered, being called illegal aliens, being called juvenile delinquents, being called obese, or being called a sex offender. Two quick articles in this regard. The Department of Correction in Washington State will no longer call criminals offenders. And the state of Colorado is dropping the designation sex offender. And this is how the left believes it can stop sin and change society for good. Just change the language and stop hurting people's self-image. This is their leftist doctrine of salvation. This is what they've learned in the universities. And it's the same mindset behind the New York City policy, no bail, no jail. So why do our politicians think this way? It's false teaching. They don't have a biblical worldview. In their apostasy from God, they have lost all moral conviction concerning sin. They don't believe in their own sin. So therefore, they don't believe in and they're naive toward the sin of others. And they hate the thought of their own judgment and accountability. And so they don't believe in the judgment and the accountability of others. They are like permissive parents. It's the eventual condition of the wicked described in Psalm 50, verse 17. For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you're pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. And it's Romans chapter 1, verse 32. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do they do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. The judge or the politician is a sexual pervert himself, is a cocaine user, so he's soft on other sexual offenders and drug users. A telling story came out this week that the father of the 18-year-old Uvalde shooter, Salvador Ramos Sr., said, "Don't call my son a monster. He's a good person who stuck to himself." So obviously, this father did not believe or teach his son what the Bible says about our sinfulness, our corrupt nature, that there is none good, no, not one. And he didn't teach his son about how we need to come to Christ in repentance and be made new. It reminds me of the biblical character Adonijah in 1 Kings 1:6. His father never crossed him at any time by asking, why have you done so? And not only is that parents in our society, but that's also the way school officials and the government is treating people. So Adonijah grew up unrestrained and with a sense of entitlement. It's like the priest Eli, who honored his sons more than God and God's righteous standards. A permissive parent teaches his child that the child is basically good, that if the child fails at something, he's a victim of society, and that the child needs to believe in himself. Rather than teaching the child God's truth, that we're lost sinners who need to conform to Christ. When I was raising my sons, I explained to them their sinful condition, their fallen nature, but that we can have forgiveness in Christ. And that teaching was not detrimental to their self-concept, as some psychologists would tell us. That biblical truth gave them the perfect balance of humility and hope. But our political leaders, our social leaders, professors in universities are all like permissive parents, teaching this generation the false doctrine of non-guilt, a denial of personal sin. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Because this generation has rejected the truth, the word of God, it has fallen into darkness, into foolish thinking, into doctrinal error, and practically it results in terrible human suffering, as in the Texas case. And it's not going to stop. It's only going to get worse. But the point is this. It all starts with false doctrine, the lies of Satan. He's the destroyer. He's the father of lies. So Christian, we have our work cut out for us because we have to proclaim biblical truth in the face of an avalanche of social lies. We're like the Old Testament prophets, the prophets of Jehovah, who had to confront the prophets of Baal. Two different worldviews, two different religions, the religion of secular humanism, of immorality versus the faith of Christ. And we're called of God to confront these workers of iniquity and their ideology. 2 Corinthians 10, we're to destroy speculations and every lofty thing that raises up against the knowledge of God. Titus chapter 1, verse 9, we're to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. Jude 1, 3, we're to earnestly contend for the faith. 1 Timothy 6:12, we're to fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 2:25, in gentleness, we're to correct those who are in opposition. And 1 Peter 3:15, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you. So how are we doing in those things? And here's where I want to discuss the topic for this week's program, how to confront leftism. Rather than wandering from subject to subject, I try to keep my program on target. there's actually method to the madness. I began with some thoughts about the Texas school shooting, just to remind us that our social problems are rooted in false teaching at all levels, in the home, in schools, in government. There's nothing wrong with America that right doctrine couldn't fix. In fact, I read a good quote this week. God is the target of all political battles. You know, we may think the argument is only about the environment or racism or economic principles, such as Marxism versus capitalism, but it all comes down to a battle for or against God, his truth, his authority. What we're up against is the same thing that every generation of God's people have been up against: false teachers, false prophets. And the new religion that is sweeping over America, that's being taught in our churches of secularism, which are our universities, is called leftism. Wokeism, postmodernism, materialism, secular humanism. It's really all the same thing with a different mask. And that's the first point I want us to understand. That even though there is a huge dictionary of leftist jargon, it's all the same thing. It's all rooted in the same basic false premises, and therefore it can be defeated by the same basic biblical truths. When you study the branches of postmodernism coming out of the universities, it can be quite overwhelming. There's post-colonial theory, queer theory, critical race theory, feminist theory, social justice theory, Marxism, social Marxism, but it's all based on the same foundational ideology. And it's like a house of cards. All you need to do is pull out the one card at the bottom, and it all comes tumbling down. Wise and discerning Christians, in order to do the work of evangelism, need to understand the lies of the devil, his lies in this generation, and how God's word refutes those lies. We need to understand the song the devil is singing in our day, the language that's being used, so we can expose the lies. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Are you ignorant of his schemes? You know, it would have been great if we were able to be in the garden when Eve was tempted. We could have jumped in there and said, "Don't believe the serpent. He's possessed by the fallen archangel. He's the enemy of God. He's trying to make God's law seem unreasonable by saying that God said you can't eat of any tree." This is the typical technique of evil, to exaggerate God's prohibitions. And Satan is depicting God and his law as oppressive when God's laws are actually for our good. Now, of course, there's theological reasons why God didn't provide Eve that support. I'm not about to go into that right now, but at least we know that in our current dispensation, we're here to refute the lies of Satan. And notice this word from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 18. "Woe to those who drag iniquity with the cords of falsehood, and sin as if with cart ropes." Every sin, every rebellion against God has to be pulled along with a lie. In the garden, the sin was eating the forbidden fruit, rebelling against God's authority. The cords or the rope that pulled the sin along was Satan's falsehood that God was keeping Eve down, keeping Eve from knowledge, that God was an oppressor. So we have to discern two things. First, the sin, and second, the lie or the justification for that sin. And in our culture, the sin is immorality and rebellion against God, and the lie, the ropes pulling that sin, is postmodernism and leftism. And to jump ahead, let me tell you right now that the lie Satan is using today is the exact same lie he used back in the Garden of Eden, that God and God's law is oppression. It's packaged with a lot of sophisticated philosophical language, but it's the same old lie. Satan does not have many tools in his toolbox. The foundation undergirding all postmodern philosophies today is that God and God's standards are oppressive. Postmodernism is all about this oppression narrative. Everything that God is doing is considered a power play against us. And to be free and happy, we must be free from God. That was probably Satan's own lie that he used to justify his rebellion against God. And he wants us to believe that same lie. And if you understand this, you've got it. You're ahead of most theologians. And if you understand how to expose this lie, you'll be able to destroy the foundations upon which leftist ideologues trust. Once someone sees the oppression narrative for what it is and decides to no longer believe that oppression narrative, leftist ideology begins to collapse and the heart is ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me now explain the ideology of leftism, how it's founded on the original lie of Satan. And I want to be brief, because if I get winded, I defeat my point. My point is that we need to understand how simple it is to destroy the pillars upon which leftism rests. I have shelves of books explaining the history and the tenets of postmodern leftism. But this last week, I was reading James Lindsay's book, Cynical Theories, How Activist Scholarship Made Everything About Race, Gender, and Identity, and Why This Harms Everyone. He is not writing from purely a Christian perspective, but he does a good job explaining current philosophy from a natural law point of view. So he begins by explaining how what we're experiencing in society today is a result of ideas, the values, the new religion being taught in the universities. Again, as I said, it's all rooted in false doctrine. Change the doctrine, the practice will be changed. Quote from Lindsay: since its revolutionary beginnings, postmodernism has evolved into new forms, which have preserved its original principles and themes while gaining increased influence over culture, activism, and scholarship, especially in the humanities and social sciences. Understanding postmodernism is therefore a matter of some urgency, precisely because it radically rejects the foundations upon which today's advanced civilizations are built, and consequently has the potential to undermine them. Unquote. Lindsay also points out that these leftist theories have grown underground for the last 50 to 100 years. It's only now that they've come to the surface. It's only now that these ideologues believe that enough ground has been laid where they can burst out on the scene with their revolution. The left has been emboldened. They can now have their gay pride parades. They can threaten businesses and Hollywood. They have people in fear. Their people control the major institutions because so many Americans already have a pagan worldview. And this is really prophetic. The day will come when Satan will so delude the world that he can bring in his Antichrist agenda, as we see in the book of the Revelation. Now, my personal view is that if leftism fails to take over this generation, it's just going to go back into hiding and reappear in 10 or 15 years. Satan's plan is to create a worldwide rebellion against God at the end of this age, and God will let him do it to expose the hearts of the unsaved and to judge the world. Well, in Lindsay's definition, he says postmodernism radically rejects the foundations upon which our civilization is built. So what foundations are being rejected? Well, the entire Christian worldview held over from the Reformation, including its moral values, its economic values, its social values. our current Western society is certainly not perfect, but it has maintained some foundational Christian concepts, such as there is a law outside of ourselves that we need to conform to, that we need to conform to gender, that there are some family norms, that government should have limited power, that human rights come from God, and we're not little gods. But leftism wants to remove all vestiges of Christian values in order to bring in what they believe will be a pagan utopia. And we know where the reign of the Antichrist will lead. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. The Antichrist will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One and will intend to make alterations in times and laws. Now, those on the left don't necessarily know the whole satanic plan, but because they have a subconscious animosity toward Christian truth and standards, they easily become supporters of leftist satanic doctrine. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They follow the Antichrist simply because they don't have a love for the truth. Now, Lindsay covers many pillars of postmodernism, but there's just one main pillar I want to briefly discuss, and that's postmodernism's theory about knowledge and power. Because that's the main theory used to undermine God's truth. And in this we can clearly see Satan's Genesis chapter 3 oppression narrative. So the power knowledge teaching goes like this. What is considered knowledge or truth is not determined by absolute standards of truth that exist outside of ourselves, but we decide what is knowledge or truth. It's all a human construct, made up by man. It has to be because there's no God. But that in itself doesn't condemn what is widely accepted in the West as knowledge or truth. I mean, 300 years ago, in the Enlightenment, the philosophers were saying the same thing, that truth is not derived from the word of God, but it's derived from logic, experience, tradition, etc. But this new view of postmodernism, to discredit Western values, is claiming that these values are wrong because they were made up by the powerful people of the world to oppress the weak. So, not only is truth derived from man, but what man has been believing all along has been wrong. And this is the new slant coming from leftism, postmodernism. Because it's powerful people in society who have been making these moral decisions. And we can't have that because everyone needs to be equal. And what has decided truth, the current moral narrative in the West, is what gives people in power the most power. They have created definitions of knowledge that are self-serving, definitions that keep them in power. Therefore, knowledge or truth is an application of just political power, but it has nothing to do with reality. And of course, it is true that there are people in power who create lies to keep themselves in power, such as a pharaoh who tells the people that he's a god so that they would obey him. But in postmodernism, every truth claim is seen as being made up by people to secure their own power. Postmodernists would even claim that the disciples made up the truth about Christ so that they could have religious power over other religions. In postmodern leftism, Christianity is viewed as oppressive of other religions. Because in leftism, there can be no false religion, because there's no God and there's no absolute truth. So any religion that claims to be the way has to be oppressive. And to call someone else's truth wrong would hurt their feelings. It would attack their autonomous, godlike self, and for leftists, that's the greatest sin, offending people's self-determination. And so This is what we get from people who don't believe in God, who believe that man is alone in the universe, so that if there is a God, we are him. And the combined power of man in government becomes God. And this is what we get from those who do not believe in God's absolute truth. Every truth claim has to be made up. And the reason for all truth claims is allegedly a desire for power. Except for the truth claim of postmodernism. And that's the irrationality of this whole thing. Because their truth claims are also social constructs meant to give them power over the current system. But they see their truth claims as being right because they're defending the freedom of the godlike power of man, which they take as a given. Postmodernists claim to be virtuous because they're destroying truth claims that they believe are meant to oppress. They believe they're right because they're freeing man from morality, which they believe is oppression. They believe they are the enlightened ones who now understand that oppression is what makes the world work. This narrative of the oppressor versus the oppressed. You know, in Marxism, it was all about freeing man from economic oppression, freeing man from work. In social Marxism, postmodernism, it's all about freeing man from social restraints and morality. And if you think about it, this is a great excuse for immorality and evil. Everyone who does evil can claim that the righteous are oppressing them with their rules. You know, so LGBTQ crowd, the Marxist crowd, the feminists, the nature worshippers, etc., fall right into postmodernist ideology because they already have a grievance against God in the Christian culture. They feel oppressed by God. And now they have a justification for it. They have the ropes to pull the sin. Understand that the lies of Satan today, at the end of this age, is all about this oppression narrative, that Western values, code for Christian values, are oppressing. And this whole foundation of postmodernism is bitterness and hatred toward God. Like Karl Marx, who called Marxism a ruthless criticism of everything that exists. And the postmodern philosopher Marcuse called his movement a critical movement, an anti-law movement, an anti-beauty movement. Whatever exists has to be attacked and recast by the negative. And is that not satanic? A hatred for God, a hatred toward everything that God has created, especially a hatred for humanity itself. These leftists are ultimately destroyers, like their father Satan. They create the culture of death, and Satan's fingerprints are all over their ideology. You know, it's no coincidence that Karl Marx was a Satanist. But in conclusion, the way to refute this lie is to keep it simple. To give a brief explanation of the lie of oppression that's being used today and how it's identical to the Genesis chapter 3 story, explaining to the unsaved that Satan wants them to believe that God's values are oppressive. The college student who has been introduced to the postmodernist explanation for the world will understand what you're talking about. Because they know their worldview is all about the oppressed and the oppressor narrative in order to explain away moral values. And if you can say nothing else, just read the text. Genesis chapter 3, the serpent said to the woman, "Surely you will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." You say, but they don't believe in the Bible, or they don't believe in God. It doesn't matter. God's word is like fire, it's like a hammer. and nothing else will change the culture except a complete return to God's authority and the authority of His Word. This week I was reading an article in this periodical called First Things. It was called Defeating the Equity Regime. And the equity regime, or equity, is just another label for leftism, the social moral construct oppression narrative. And I wanted to read this article because I wanted to find out how to defeat leftism. And the author's solution: the Supreme Court needs to use constitutional case law, which allows for personal religious freedom, using the principles of equality for the right against the left. Well, sorry, these reasonings, these laws, this logic is not going to work because this is a spiritual problem. In confronting leftists, I would also turn to one more scripture to show them that God has their number. That's Psalm chapter 2. Why are the nations in an uproar and the people devise a vain thing? The kings of the earth, they take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. The people want to rebel against God's law. It's that simple. And you don't need a PhD in philosophy to understand that. It all comes down to whether you're on God's side or whether you're making up your own rules and you're making yourself your own God. Which side will you be on? Well, that's enough to cover in one video cast. Thanks for listening. I've just signed a contract with Salem Media to be aired on WMCA 570 AM, Saturday nights at 8 PM. They called me wanting my program to be on their station, which is a nice thing. They wanted me to be on their conservative talk show station, WNYM 970. And that's a station that hosts Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Sebastian Gorka. But since they couldn't give me a good time on Sunday morning on 970, I decided it would be best to start with the Christian station, WMCA 570, build an audience there, and then later maybe add a program over on AM 970. I started with WMCA 12 years ago, but I could only afford 1 year. So I went over to the Bridge Radio and then to YouTube. And I still plan to stay on Bridge Radio. But WAMCA is going to open up a whole new audience in the New York City Metro because they have a much stronger signal. Many of you who have listened to this program over the years have been praying for an expanded outreach. This might be that opportunity. Salem Communication is big. These radio stations have cost Salem Media tens of millions of dollars. But with that kind of outreach comes a big expense for me. First, I want to thank those who have given to this ministry over the years. Those donations have made it possible for me to sign this contract with WMCA. And now I might have to tactfully ask for donations at the end of the program. But fear not, I'm not going to become one of those money ministries. Everything we bring in will still go right toward just buying radio time. But since our time on earth is short, we might as well use our money for God. After all, it's just a bunch of pieces of paper with pictures of dead presidents. Actually, I know it's much more than that. It represents some serious hard work and sacrifice on the part of Christians. Well, thanks for being part of this work. And may God bless you in every endeavor as you seek to fulfill the Great Commission. May Jesus Christ reign.